What's happening, everyone? This is Max Simon. I'm the CEO and co-founder of Green Flower and Ganjier, which is known as the Cannabis Sommelier Certification, and you are listening to Professionally Cannabis.
Hey there, listener, and welcome back to the Professionally Cannabis podcast. Today, I am pleased to say that we're joined by Max Simon, the co-founder and CEO of Green Flower, a leading cannabis education platform working with businesses and universities alike. Also serving as the CEO of Ganjier, Max well and truly has a number of irons in the cannabis educational fire. I cannot wait to pick his brain today. So without further ado, Max, welcome to the Professionally Cannabis podcast.
So excited to be here, Jonathan. Thanks.
It's a pleasure to have you, Max. And as you know, our first and customary question is, what led you to the plant?
I've been a cannabis consumer for many decades now. It sounds kind of funny to say that out loud, but I have been diagnosed with ADHD very, very young. It's something that it's been a real struggle in my life. And when I was in my teens, I found cannabis and didn't, of course, at that time realize that it was medicinal or that it had such medicinal properties, but was so drawn to it and have essentially been consuming cannabis since my teens. So I have a very, very, very long relationship with the plant. And from a career perspective, I've also been almost exclusively in education-based businesses, but many diverse different kinds of education businesses. So in 2014, when I had this opportunity to start looking at cannabis professionally, I really saw an opportunity to kind of bring these two worlds together, education and cannabis, things that have been a constant in my life for forever.
And looking at your journey from perhaps sort of quote unquote traditional education to promoting cannabis education, what literature and or authors or researchers initially inspired this push to create this holistic mainstream platform of cannabis-based resources?
Well, it's a little bit of a sideways answer, but one of the things I did in my career was for 8 years, I was working for Deepak Chopra, who's a mind-body medicine practitioner. And, you know, I started in the time when meditation and yoga and mind-body medicine was fairly unknown and fairly stigmatized and fairly seen as something that's on the fringe. And through the work that we did at the Chopra Center and with Deepak, you know, we were able to reach hundreds of millions of people. We were able to kind of introduce meditation and yoga and mind-body medicine into the world in a way that was accepted and embraced. And we were able to build a really successful business. And so I had this experience of doing something that was fringe and uncertain and unknown and kind of not respected, and turning it into something that was, you know, was the opposite. And so when I was looking for a kind of my next entrepreneurial endeavor, I've been an entrepreneur most of my career after Chopra, actually. I just started looking around and was actually introduced to one of the first vape pen companies in California back in 2013. Seems forever ago now. And that really opened my eyes to the cannabis's potential. And I think because of my Chopra background, I realized, well, here's something that is highly stigmatized, that's very misunderstood, that is seen as something, you know, only on the fringe. But like meditation and yoga and mind-body medicine, I had both direct experience as well as started to do my own research to see this plant is going to change the world, quite frankly, you know. And so I spent a good amount of time trying to learn. And at that time, in that day and age, there was, you know, lots of good legacy people who you could learn from. And then the industry itself was kind of maturing and developing. And that's where I saw my opportunity, is to play a role in becoming that educational source for the planet and building a business that could both further the mission of helping cannabis acceptance and adoption take place in the world, but also to build a great business that could be very successful.
So, Max, we have this incredibly maligned plant, an amazing plant, both for medicinal purposes, but also as a recreational aid. We're seeing in the last few years rapid pace of adoption of cannabis medicines around the world, and acceptance of cannabis not being, say, the devil's lettuce. But in terms of quality information, content, resources, it's still particularly quite lacking. And there's still a lot of misinformation out there. We're only really starting to see cannabis education enter select tranches of higher education sort of in recent years. For you, where and when do you believe that cannabis education should start for people?
Well, it's a great question. And through my company, Green Flower, we've had a few different cycles of development of what do we do and who we are and what's our purpose in the world. And we actually started very consumer facing and we're focused on educating individuals and realizing that in order for adoption to happen, we kind of needed more, you know, people to consume the plant and benefit from the plant and all that. And I did that for a number of years. It did reach hundreds of millions of people and was able to be very helpful. But as a business, was very difficult to be in a kind of a media business for cannabis education. And so we shifted to being more professional based. And it took me a little bit to wrestle with that. But the reason I bring that up is because there's been a few amazing things that have happened over the years. And I'll loop back to answering your question very directly, where as people have dropped the stigma, and as people more importantly have realized that cannabis is a safe product and is a product that can provide a whole number of benefits, it's such a good product. I mean, let's just call it as is. Like, cannabis is such a great product. It's so effective that it kind of continues its adoption cycle. But what was happening was the industry, in order to service the demand of the product, was growing more and more rapidly. And you were seeing so many professionals come into the space that also didn't know anything about the plant. And it actually became really obvious to me, as I've been in this industry so long, that we've already hit an adoption curve on the consumer side. I think that the stigma has dropped so significantly. Legalization has created so much more access. You know, you have whole countries that are legalizing, whether that's Canada or Germany and so on. And so I think at the early, but at the real full-on stage of consumer adoption taking place. But as professionals started to get involved, I realized, man, there's a lot of people coming in that just literally either didn't know anything, or what they knew was wrong, or what they were doing to represent cannabis was wrong. And so I think that we're at the very earliest stages, but at the exciting stages of professional cannabis adoption as well, which is why, you know, examples like you in this podcast here is you have lots more people that are starting to get involved in the professional side of the industry. And I actually believe that it's educating the professionals that will have the biggest impact, because despite the reality that we were able to touch so many people on the consumer side, it's very obvious to me now that training 1,000 professionals to be really good stewards of the plant actually has an exponentially larger impact, because podcasts like this will go out and reach thousands or tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of people. And, you know, that bud tender will see 100 people every single day in a service-oriented role, and the product companies will go out and open up new markets. And so I think that we're full on in the swing of kind of consumer-facing adoption and people that are really taking the opportunity to get the benefits from cannabis seriously. And I think we're in the very early stages of professional adoption, of building the industry, which has been very exciting to see develop.
And Max, how can education like this dovetail not just with business, but with traditional avenues for higher education?
Yeah. Well, so probably a good time to just take a moment to share a brief sentence about Green Flower, and then to answer that question directly, because it'll explain why higher education is starting to embrace cannabis and what the value there is for those institutions. And so Green Flower has kind of three parts of the business. We partner with universities to power their cannabis curriculums. And we have 19 schools right now in the United States where we are offering these cannabis certificate programs through the university. You know, these are schools like University of Arizona, University of New Mexico, University of Denver, Syracuse University, Mercy College, some great names. And we are powering those cannabis programs through the school. We have a second part of the business called Gangier, which is a cannabis sommelier qualification. It's a very rigorous and kind of advanced program. And then we have a part of the business that actually works with cannabis operators. And we both satisfy the mandatory training requirements that many cannabis operators have in certain states and localities that are for either retail or manufacturers. But we also provide kind of learning and development and upskilling solutions for cannabis companies to train their employees. And I say all that because, you know, there's this very diverse business in education. And when we started developing our curriculums, you know, they were getting richer and richer and deeper and more extensive, to the point where our medical program, for example, was like 325 hours of content. And as we developed the programming and we got so deep into the content, we just started saying, man, these are college worthy. Mm-hmm, you know, the programs, the rigorous, the depth, the quality of instructors, they are college worthy. And so it was back, I mean, it was back in 2017 now, we started approaching colleges to say to them, look, this is an industry that's growing at an incredible pace. It's going to add, you know, hundreds of thousands and ultimately millions of new jobs. Nobody knows a damn thing about it. You know, nobody knows anything really. And you should play a role in educating your local communities on this. And it took us many years. We started approaching colleges in 2017, and they were always, you know, willing to take our calls or have the meetings. But it wasn't until 2019, really the end of 2019, when our first school finally said, okay, we'll try this out. You know, like, it makes sense. It makes sense. We'll try this out. And it was so great because it was successful and they were thrilled with the results and students showed up and it was a great test case. And we took that and just ran like crazy, you know. And then once COVID hit, all these schools were also looking for ways to diversify into more online education and diversify their offerings because they were hurting. And so it was the kind of the perfect storm for us to go from one school in 2019 to 19 schools now in 2022. And so I think, you know, higher education is there to serve the role of preparing people for careers. And this is an industry that has a lot of need to prepare people for a lot of different diverse careers.
And when you're working with any of these sort of 19 higher education institutions, sort of how much collaboration is there in curating the content?
About probably 80 to 90% of every partnership is the same in terms of teaching foundational cannabis principles, knowledge, practices, understanding. So, you know, for example, in the medical program or in the agriculture program, let's just say, you know, we're teaching people how to grow commercial cannabis. It doesn't matter whether you're in California or, you know, Florida, the process of growing cannabis is fairly the same, right? Is similar. You might have a little bit of nuances, but that's where the, you know, the 10, 20% comes from, is that in each program, we have instructors that are kind of customizing and working with students and making sure that what we're doing is relevant to those individual places or giving them the guidance on how to find that unique information that's based upon that local region. And so they are more kind of ready-made with a little bit of customization. And to answer your question, you know, universities don't know anything about this stuff and they don't have the expertise or the resources. So we really do go to them with a kind of, we're the everything for you. You know, we have the content and we have the technology and we have the instructors and we have the marketing and enrollment systems and we have the student support. And, you know, we've got kind of the whole ecosystem built out now. So it is an attractive offering for schools. It just took an enormous amount of investment to build that ecosystem so that we could go to these schools with this package that would be attractive to them to say yes to.
Over the years of curating your curricula, your programs, your content, how have you seen demand for education in certain tranches of the industry or certain operational parts of the industry evolve? Has there been a greater shift towards, for example, cultivation practices or bud tending or things of the sort?
Well, it's been a slow burn until the last few years. You know, we started in 2014, which seems like forever ago now. And for like literally 6 years of that time, we were building content, building curriculum, building instructors, building our technology base. But the demand was really low and slow. And in the last few years, it started to pick up a bit. And I think there's a bunch of reasons for that. You know, one is that the industry itself does just continue to grow. And even though there's a lot of challenges and a lot of difficulties, it's not stopping the growth of the industry. And so that does create a need for lots of talent. You know, I mean, a growing industry needs people. And as people are taking an interest in this, they're realizing it is very complex. You know, the cannabis industry, the cannabis plant, it's not a simple thing. I mean, my analogy I always use that helps put it in perspective is nobody goes to the local wine store and says like, okay, tell me how this wine is going to make me feel. It's just not what people do. But in cannabis, you know, I know this now as we've been training professionals on the service side so deeply with Ganjier, is that people come in for an enormous diversity of different reasons. Some are very hardcore medical. Some are wellness oriented, some are social, some are spiritual, some are culture. You know, it's like there's such a huge, diverse reason why people are attracted to cannabis. And so because of the complexity, you need to be skilled. You know, you need to be well educated. And as, you know, one of the big complaints is in the industry, so many people are not. And that's what's propagating a lot of the misinformation or that's propagating a lot of the incorrect information. I mean, I tend to feel like if I was going to go into 10 dispensaries, I could pretty confidently tell you that 9 out of 10 of those would tell me incorrect things in my consultation, you know, 9 out of 10 times. So there's a need for education. And then furthermore, you know, education, when you complete it, gives you credibility. That's one of the big reasons we go do these things is, you know, if you have a degree or a certificate or a qualification, it means something as long as the industry embraces it. And that's why it's taken us so long to get to the place we're at is we've just been pushing and pushing and pushing for all these years. So it was a very slow, difficult process for that beginning period for the bulk of the company. But fortunately and gratefully so, the last few years have really started to pick up and become a legitimate thing.
Well, it's super, super to see and super to hear, and it's an excellent platform. But Max, I'd love to understand a little bit more about Ganjier and your sommelier certification. You know, it's something that sounds fantastic. And also on a personal level, I remember, I think it was our first podcast we did with Rubicon Organics. I think I made a joke about there perhaps being sommeliers for cannabis. So when I saw that you have this sommelier certification, it really brought a smile to my face. Can you tell us a little bit more about this?
Yeah, and I will say it's the most it's the most satisfying product I've ever been a part of building in my whole history. You know, it's so damn cool what this thing has become, and it's become so much bigger than we anticipated it. So the origin of it is that we really saw that there was a need for a real expert in cannabis products and cannabis service. And unfortunately, currently, that role is occupied by the bud tender. But, you know, while we do have bud tender training, we've got even credentials that are for that level of role, we realize that in order to really build credibility, in order to build mastery, and in order to build a certain level of desirability, it needed to be something more than just a bud tender training. So we started researching, you know, how does this happen in other sectors and other industries? And the moment you did that, it was so obvious. It's like, well, there are sommeliers, or there's chocolatiers, or there's coffee cuppers, and in pretty much every industry where there's you know, consumption-based products, gustatory products, there are highly trained, certified professionals who have gained that level of reputation for being you know, masters of those domains. Mm-hmm. And so we had this awareness and this real insight, and we said, this is something we'd love to do. You know, my co-founder in Ganjier is a guy named Derek Gilman, a really beautiful friend of mine, and a real like multi-generational cannabis farmer, cannabis connoisseur, you know, really a provocateur of cannabis quality. And him and I together were this perfect blend, because I'm kind of the business strategy guy and he's got the real deep understanding of cannabis itself. Mm-hmm. And the two of us said, okay, well, first, we're going to research the heck out of these sommelier programs. And so we spent a lot of time talking to sommeliers, understanding the different sommelier schools out there, looking at the structures, and that guided the level of understanding of what's going to be the infrastructure. How are we going to structure this program? And that created this very kind of rigorous, advanced level of qualification. And then we started to say, well, we need to actually develop a few layers of kind of new information, new material that doesn't exist right now. For example, defining what is it mean to have cannabis quality? What does cannabis quality look like? How do you understand the different product types? Like, how do you really get to a foundational level of understanding of these things? And that's when we realized, well, we need to pull in real deep experts. And so we organized this council, they call it the Ganja Council. It's 18 professionals that have at the minimum 15 years of direct experience each in the cannabis industry. So obviously they've been doing it for much longer than it's been legal.
Yes. Yeah.
Those are the people that know cannabis. And then we spent almost 18 months. It took a long time to build the curriculum so that we could design what does a master of cannabis products really need to understand. So we covered everything from history to the botany of the cannabis plant to every product type to processing methodologies that dictate cannabis quality to assessing cannabis. And that's become kind of the most interesting and fun part of the program is we realized, well, you can't know quality unless you actually understand the product. You have to assess the product. You have to get familiar with the product, you know? And so we brought together, you know, Emerald Cup judges and scientists and people, and we built a qualification system for evaluating cannabis, which is now called the Systematic Assessment Protocol or the SAP. And it's this 100-point scale for properly analyzing the appearance, the aroma, the flavor, and the experience of cannabis, because those are the elements that dictate cannabis quality, those four buckets. And so we built the criteria. We built the technology that would allow you to have a tool, a mobile app. We have the SAP app that Ganjiers get access to so you can do these assessments. And then we train people really rigorously on how to perform cannabis assessments. And so that's what then dictated the in-person training. So we have the online courses that cover all the material online. It's about 40 hours of online content, really, really the most fun learning I've ever had. And then you fly into Humboldt and you spend 2 days doing pretty intense, rigorous, but like the most fun you've ever had cannabis assessment training. And you're, you know, starting in the morning and you're going all the way till late in the night with these experts really coaching and mentoring you on refining your palate, refining your senses, understanding the variations of cannabis quality and getting to a place where you really have a deep understanding of what is quality cannabis, how does that translate into effects and into experiences for consumers, and most importantly, how do you understand how to do that properly, you know, the communication, the language. It's got to be accurate. It's got to be valuable. And so that developed that part of the process. And then we created this rigorous exam process where you have to pass 3 different exams to become certified. And there's a 100-question multiple choice exam where you have to score a 90% or higher. There's a service exam where you have to demonstrate that you can follow the Ganja customer interaction protocol, which is our way of making sure you're interacting with consumers in the highest possible way for service and accuracy. And then you have to pass an assessment exam where you actually go through and do an assessment exam on a flower, and it has to fall within the acceptable range that was set by the instructors for that particular exam. And if you go through all that steps and you pass, then you can become a certified Ganja, which now, as of today, we're sitting at about 140 people that have been fully certified over the last 2 years.
That is absolutely fantastic. I look forward to the days in the UK where I can open a newspaper and alongside the food critics read, cannabis critics as well. I think this is a wonderful course, and to have folks that are really masters of their craft as the industry develops is really a natural step. Now, a question on sort of these master sommeliers, these Ganjiers, in terms of the different form factors of the plant, you know, from vaping to combusting, edibles, etc., etc., are you likely to have, as this space develops, are you likely to have sommeliers that are like master sommeliers for each perhaps form factor, or is this course, is this accreditation built in that folks are able to really understand the nuances of a product in the different ways that it's consumed?
So in the certified level, we teach very deeply about every product type, mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. We make sure that it's that every Ganja has a deep understanding of not just the products themselves, but how they're made, what dictates the quality of those products, and so on. So even our certified level is well educated on all the form factors. But when it came to assessment itself, you know, we started asking some really interesting questions like, well, is a certified Ganja going to assess an edible? well, what is an edible? You know, an edible is cannabis infused into a brownie or a cookie or a, you know, or a gummy or something. And we're like, well, so then are you assessing the food or are you assessing the cannabis, right? And we realized that in many of these form factors, what's important to understand is the cannabis side, right? How is the product made? What are the, you know, extraction methods? How does it work in the body? How do you understand the effect profiles? How do you guide consumers to those things? But from an assessment standpoint, we realize that flower and concentrates are really the only two delivery methods by which the assessment protocol should be applied, because mostly everything else, it's kind of falls outside of the domain of cannabis. Like even a tincture, for example, you know, you are of course assessing the quality of the cannabis, but it's like, well, is it an oil base or is it with other herbs? And it starts to kind of jump out of the purview of cannabis, if you will. And so the certified level covers all of it. They're educated on it, but we really stuck to flower and concentrates in terms of their assessment capabilities. And we haven't yet really fully gotten into the advanced level or the executive level, which are the two levels that we have kind of very rough outlines of, but have quite frankly just been so damn slammed running the first level program, we haven't gotten thick into the development of. And I believe, you know, I just don't want to speak too preemptively, but I do believe that in some of those other levels, we will get more refined with, for example, like a hash sommelier, where in this program, it certainly touches on how to assess concentrates, but I wouldn't by any means say that the certified level will make you a hash sommelier. And so, you know, my point of this is saying, we'll see. We'll see how that develops in this next chapter. It's not there yet, but certainly it's in the conversation.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, Max, it's been absolutely great speaking with you. Unfortunately, the clock has beaten us. So I want to say thank you so much for joining us on the Professionally Cannabis podcast.
That was fast and amazing. Thanks so much for having me.